It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for April 21st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The proposed $45 billion cable merger deal Time Warner Cable and Comcast are pushing has been in the works for months, and regulators are being cautious about letting the two companies do a Voltron-like combination of services, which would result in one company controlling lots of America's cable television service and nearly 60% of its broadband internet service. That might be why company heads are reportedly planning to sit down with representatives from the Justice Department this week, perhaps to talk concessions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
If Comcast and Time Warner merged, they'd control almost 30% of all the cable TV subscribers in the U.S., possibly raising fears they'd own too much of the market. So how do you reassure the regulators that you're not out to rule the cable world? For starters, sell some stuff. Get smaller.
Cable properties, television properties, channels, it could even be radio or print publications as well.
That's telecom and media attorney David Klein. He says Comcast and Time Warner could also start offering a la carte pricing, something cable customers have been clamoring for. Former Republican FCC Commissioner Harold Fritschgott-Roth says they could throw in internet deals for libraries or...
They might, for example, offer to provide higher speed services to some schools in their footprint.
Or Comcast could agree to hand over some of its customers to a competitor. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Today is being called Mobilegeddon by small businesses and others around the country who pay attention to search results. Google is tweaking its algorithm for mobile devices, and sites that look and act better on your phone or tablet will move higher in those results. Our friend Lindsay Turrentine at CNET will help us understand. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm good, except I'm scared. Mobilegeddon. What is happening?
Google is enforcing some rules that it's been warning about since late February. If you're a top-ranking site and you don't format your content for mobile devices, we're not going to give you as high a page rank.
Is this kind of a quality control for the mobile web?
This is Google saying, we don't want our users to be frustrated by the way a site looks when it's served up on their phone.
Does Google's control over this part of how we view the web benefit Android's battle against iOS in some way?
I think that what Google is doing is trying to make the world a more mobile-friendly place. I think that ultimately probably benefits both iOS and Android, but certainly it's not going to hurt Google's own forays into things like wearable technology.
That's an interesting idea, that wearables could be a big part of this future.
Certainly, I think we're not there yet, but Google is going to make sure that everything you read on the web, you can read on a relatively small screen. It's only going to get harder as those screens get smaller and smaller if the world decides to adopt things like smartwatches. Google is going to learn a lot from this set of updates, and maybe one day that will end up funneling content onto a much, much, much smaller screen.
Lindsay Turrentine is editor-in-chief at CNET.com. Lindsay, nice to have you on.
Thanks, Ben.
This week includes the date 420, which has some significance for people who use marijuana, and states around the country have been relaxing laws against the Schedule I drug for both recreational and medicinal purposes, which means the weed startup space has kind of been on fire and venture capitalists are smoking what those startups are rolling. David Chow from DCM Partners says there are three reasons for this.
One is that the general sentiment around the country has changed. The second reason is that many of the cannabis products are now much more consumable. Cannabis gummy bears, cannabis chocolates. The third reason is that there is a technology revolution going on, so you can, purchase what you want on demand.
Chow's firm just helped one of these pot startups called Ease raise $10 million of funding just this month. Ease is a delivery service. The company's founder and CEO is Keith McCarty. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what does Ease do exactly?
Yeah, Ease is a on-demand healthcare delivery service that enables patients to get medical marijuana more easily, quickly, and professionally. I guess that's the long-winded answer. The short one would be it's Uber for pot.
Couldn't Uber one day be one of your competitors?
I mean, I think we certainly, you know, we looked at that. I think that there's some main differences between Uber and what Ease is doing. You know, Ease actually has to verify eligibility of patients before they can actually even use the service. You know, we ask them to submit photos of their California state ID in addition to their recommendation letter, and we verify that.
What about companies that actually do the exact same thing?
I mean, we differentiate in quite a few ways. I think we're first to market, so we have a lot more data. We also have, you know, the most funding, so I think that we can put capital to use and further our acceleration. And in the coming months, I think we'll have the biggest expansion and territory footprint of anybody else.
How worried are you about the legal landscape here going forward?
You know, the regulatory landscape will follow public sentiment. And so, you know, we'll navigate, you know, the landscape as it continues to change. And we also see it as a benefit that it is in a constant state of flux almost, right? We can help shape what those look like, what those regulations look like by, you know, continuing to be a great operator and kind of setting the bar high.
Keith McCarty is founder and CEO at the company Ease. Keith, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The company might have just raised $10 million, but it is still likely it has some uphill battles like dealing with banks. A similar service called Canary recently found its Facebook advertising services blocked for obvious reasons. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.